Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Hello, guys. It's a good crowd. Good crowd. Awesome crowd. I'm really glad to be here with you guys tonight. Happy to see you. You guys are the faithful, the remnant. How was your Christmas? How was you guys' Christmas? Good? Anybody have tamale hangover? Sugar hangover? Anybody have sugar hangover? Yeah? Is that Sue? Yeah. My wife made tamales. Is my wife here? She made tamales. Oh, they were good, man. They were like, my favorite was the chili with the queso, the poblano, the little cheese with the cheese and the bean and the cheese and the pork. But my favorite was the chili and the cheese. As a matter of fact, if you like some, they're on sale in the foyer. Just playing. Just kidding. And for tamales for Christmas hold a special place, you know, in my heart. Because, you know, for me, some Christmases, that was the only thing I got to unwrap. I didn't say you guys, I said me. I'm wearing some of my Christmas presents. My son bought me these clothes. But I wanted to show you my socks. This is really cool. I don't know if you guys can close up on these socks. It's my grandkids. I thought that was really cool. My son gave me those. It's my granddaughter and my grandson. I want to thank Vince Sierra for the graphic. That is a really cool graphic. I like that. I want to thank my son. Both my boys helped me a lot. My son Jonathan helped me with the title and with part of this presentation. And I'm really proud of my boys. You know, as a father, you want them to be better. Right? Don't you? I mean, you want your kids to be better. You know, in Israel, they build up. They have rebar sticking out of their roofs, and they build on top of their parents' home. The kids live right up above their parents, and that's kind of a picture of what I want for my kids. I want my ceiling to be their bottom floor, and that happens through God, through Jesus. You know, I want them to be better. But we're in Philippians chapter 2. I want to pick up chapter 2. It's a dynamite book. Philippians is an awesome book, man. I love this book, and I think the last time I spoke, we were in Philippians, and I want to pray. Father, I pray you pour out your Holy Spirit on your church, pour out your Holy Spirit on people that are here, on the internet, encourage your people. We invite you to come here and be with us, God. And if it's been a tough week, for those who've had a tough week or even a tough year, refresh them. Touch them, Lord. If anyone has incurred loss, I pray, God, that you reassure them that you love them and you care and you know and you comfort them. And we invite you here and we thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. And there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness, look at the root word, the Latin, happening, whatever's happening. Joy is it's deeper. Joy is a calm delight. It's on the inside. You know, it isn't dependent on circumstances. But I want to go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And here Paul says, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And in the Greek, that's one long, complex sentence. There's a period there, but in the Greek, it's a long sentence, and it's conditional. And it's the basics and the basis for good relationships. And you look at that, we're going to go 3-4, and then we're going to go backwards. 3-4 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Humility of mind, consider others more important. And it's the basics of getting along with people, of having great relationships. And you see that Paul put in two negatives. He put in two negatives. There are two don'ts, and there are two do's. And the two don'ts are the reasons that the devil got evicted from heaven. What was his crime? What was the devil's crime? It said, what was it? The selfish ambition, empty conceit. Let's look at that. It's in Isaiah 14. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, how? How did this guy do this? How? That's us. One day we're going to see Satan, kind of like at the Wizard of Oz when they Toto pulled that curtain back. So how? How did that guy cause so much trouble? And you notice the nouns there, all the I's. I will do this. I will do that. And Isaiah is talking about the demise of the Babylonian king, but he's also talking about the devil, Lucifer, because Jesus gives reference to it in the Gospels. He warns his guys, don't get big-headed. You know, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Don't get big-headed just because you got this spiritual dominion over evil spirits. Don't get big-headed. Stay humble. And you are never more like Satan when you're displaying those first two characteristics. Vain imagination or selfish ambition, empty conceit. You're never more like Jesus when you're doing the other two. My first point is don't be selfish. You know, the first two will ruin you. The first two will remedy you. Selfish ambition. And you think about our phones, selfies. They say that death by selfie is more, it's more common than death by shark. Well, why is that? I think people forget where they're at. They're oblivious for where they're at. They're trying to get a good picture. And they fall or they're run over by a car. And that's kind of a commentary on our culture. You know, you don't know your surroundings. Selfishness is the very heart of our fallen nature. It's the root of every other sin. What did the devil do? He placed his will above God's because of selfishness. What did Adam and Eve do? They put their will above God because of selfishness. And we put our will above God when we do the same thing, exercising that selfish ambition. When I have an idea. My picture is of a guy who's trying to climb that corporate ladder. He's got that selfish ambition. He's trying to climb that corporate ladder, kissing up, and he'll climb right over your back. Or the guy that you play basketball with, you know, as a kid, the guy that he's good, he's talented, but he never passes the ball. You know, selfish, you know. And we are not to be that way. And the next one is don't be prideful. Point number two, don't be prideful or have empty conceit or vainglory. That's what the King James calls it. And that's not a bad rendition, vainglory. It's kinos doxia, empty glory in the Greek. Empty glory, vainglory. A way of describing a person who has an exaggerated idea of their own importance. They're puffed up. I'm awesome. You know, that mentality. I'm an awesome guy. And you do have to, I see the social media, a lot of the social media stuff, the posts. And I want to just tell people, be careful with what you post. You know, I'm happy that you guys put stuff out there. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're proud. You know, but sometimes you're right on the brink. People are right on the brink of bragging. You know what I mean? It looks like you're kind of boasting. And just Keep doing it, but check your motives. That's the best way to do it. Before I put something on social media, I'll ask God. I go, why am I doing this? You know, what's my motive? And for the most part, I put my devotions on there. I want to encourage people and strengthen them. So, you guys ever see those blowfishes? They got big old lips, you know, and they swim around. And when they're threatened, what do? When they're threatened, they just blow up, right? They blow up, and they ward off the threats by their size and their appearance. And I saw the other day on TV, she was a singer, and she was on a talk show. And it blew me away. My wife and I were watching it. She talked to the host. It was during the interview. And she said, make sure you get my good side. So he rolled his chair around behind her to the middle of the screen just to get her good side. Oh, yeah, make sure you get my good side. And she acted like she was playing around. But she wasn't. She wasn't playing around. And you know what she reminded me of? That blowfish. And it was horrible. It was like, oh, God, that's so unattractive. That is so, repugnant to me. I just didn't like it. And you juxtapose that to our worship leader, John Ranger. Down to earth. Humble, man. You juxtapose that to him. I love that. Romans 12:3 says, for the grace given to me, I say to you, everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Don't think too high of yourself. You know, don't think too high of yourself. Don't think you're better. And the way a person enters a room will tell you everything about them, okay? If you come in saying, you know, with a swagger, you know, like a peacock, strutting in like a peacock, here I am, then that tells me something about you, you know. Or you come in to a room saying, there you are. How you doing? You know, how's it going? How did Paul enter a room? How did he come into a room? With humility of mind. What did he say in the first chapter, first verse? I'm a doulos. I'm a bond slave. I'm a servant, you know. I'm a table waiter. You know, I'm on a voluntary basis. I'm serving people on a voluntary basis. You know, I'm a willing servant. How did James identify himself? He didn't say, well, Jesus is my brother. What did he say? I'm a bond servant. He's not my stepbrother. I'm the bond servant of Christ. And you want to know if you have a true servant's heart when you get treated like one. What's your reaction? You know, what do? Do you get mad? Do you get hurt? Sometimes you just got to laugh. My son also told me something about self-talk. And it's that vainglory thing, self-talk. Be aware of how you're talking to yourself. You know, be aware. Are you saying, I'm special? I'm special. Or you think, well, I am special. I'm so special. That may be vainglory, you know. And it's a sign that there's insecurity. And the remedy is what? What is the remedy? Be humble. Think of others ahead of yourself. And that's the next point. Do be humble. Do be humble. You know, humility is not thinking less of yourself. You know, the worm syndrome. Oh, I'm no good. I'm nothing. No. But thinking of yourself less. Putting others ahead of yourself. Yeah, take care of yourself, but put others ahead of you. You know, the quickest way to get God against you is to puff yourself up. The quickest way to get him on your side is to humble yourself. How do you know that? It says it all over the Bible. It's all over the New Testament. Here's one in James 4:6. But God, he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter, 1 Peter 5:5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And in history, the culture, the Greek culture 2,000 years ago, the lowliest of mind was like a bad quality. It was a quality that was looked down upon by that culture. And it was an idea that was pushed. You know, it was a sophistication. And they said that anybody who was a non-Greek was a barbarian. You were a barbarian if you were a non-Greek. And slaves were to grovel on the ground and were considered weak. If you were humble, you were considered weak, scum. And when they would invade a land, they would subjugate the people and break them down. Break them down and keep them down. And I find it really interesting what these people thought was a bad thing. The Bible and God says it's a very, very good thing to be humble. It's so, so good. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And I have this thing memorized. Why do you memorize it, Pastor Hector? Because I've needed this. I've needed this to keep my attitude in check, to help me with this puffed up world. You know, what does it say? Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yeah, I memorized that thing, and I'm not boasting on it. I just needed it. I needed it in times of trouble. I needed that. And you look in Matthew 11, and it's the one place where he describes himself, Jesus. He never says anything about himself. And what he says is, I am lowly and gentle. I'm gentle and humble in heart. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. I'm gentle and humble in heart. So do be humble. Do be humble. The fourth one is do be respectful. Do be respectful. And in the message it says, put yourself aside. Help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own way. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. And in my marriage, you know, I've been married for a long period of time, and I cannot hang with Elena. And what that means, I can't hang with her servanthood, her humility, her selflessness, her unselfishness. I cannot hang with that. I don't know if it's a gender deal. I don't know if it's women that do that better. But it doesn't mean that I stop trying. I keep trying. Yeah, I keep trying. I keep going. And that's how a marriage should work and how a relationship in our church should work. How relationship is on the job should work. You keep giving. You keep trying. There should be a give and a take. If somebody just takes from you, be careful. You need boundaries, you know? Be careful with that. Don't let somebody drain you. We should endeavor to put others ahead of ourselves. There was a race, and it was a children's handicap Olympics, and there was a little boy named Andrew, and he was running the 220. That's that full lap around the stadium. And on the closing corner, he's right at the end, one of his friends fell. So Andrew stopped. He stopped and he went back. And he helped his friend up. And he got passed up by everybody. He was first. He was headed for the finish line. He was first. He got passed up by everybody. Helped his friend up. And they both crossed the finish line together. And he finished last. Sometimes winning isn't everything. Helping is better. Helping is more important. Helping others is more important. Leonard Bernstein, he was a concert conductor. They asked him, what's the hardest instrument to man? He said, what's the hardest instrument to man in the orchestra? And he said, second fiddle. For a violinist, it's really hard to find second fiddle. You can always find the first guy, first fiddle, but it's hard to find those guys as second fiddles. One of our brothers just went to heaven last week. One of our precious brothers, Robert Santana, And he was one of those second fiddle guys. He kind of lived here, almost. He was always setting up tables, picking up trash. He helped Riley. Is Riley here? Yeah, he helped Riley. He's always helping us. And in the Bible, Paul says that the unseemly members seem to be more necessary. On the unseemly members, we deem more honor on those unseemly members. Could the unseemly members be the vital organs? Because you can live without an eye, but you can't live without a liver or a kidney. You can live without an appendix, but those vital organs. Could it be that these people, these Robert Santanas, are vital organs? Because somebody asked the other day, who's going to do what he did? Who's going to pick up where he left off? Somebody's got to stand up. Somebody's got to step in. But that guy was a second fiddle guy. And all this sounds good. It preaches really well, right? It preaches really well. Sounds really good. But man, when I was preparing for this, I was so convicted. It's not easy. This is not easy. It's hard to implement this thing. You know, in a world that, you know. But I want to ask you guys, get your phones out and turn on your cameras. Okay, turn on your cameras and then reverse it. Put the little reverse like you're going to do a little selfie. You guys know how to do that, right? And you look at that. I see a guy there. I know his flaws. I know his weaknesses. I know he's a sinner. And I can't deny the fact that this guy is not that good. How about you guys? That's a sin of our country. Everybody says, I'm good. We're good. No, you're not. No. What about that tax collector, that Pharisee? He was a religious Gestapo. He went to church saying, you know what, I'm glad I'm a Jew. I'm glad I'm not like these other people, man. I'm glad I'm not a thief. I'm glad I don't cheat on my wife. You know, the Bible says he was praying to himself. His prayers were hitting the ceiling. And the tax collector was right there going, oh, Lord, be merciful. I know you know who I am. And that dude had a better view of himself, proper view of himself. How did Paul see himself? What do you say? I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm the least of all the saints. What do you say? I'm the chief of all sinners, the foremost. He didn't say I was. He said I am. He said I am first in rank, chief of all sinners. And what Paul does is he approaches them with what he knows about himself, these people. And that's how we should approach each other, approach others. So don't be selfish. Don't be prideful. Do be humble. Do be respectful. Those are the basis for great relationships, for good relationships. Now I want to go to Philippians 2:1. I'm going backwards. Obviously, I'm going backwards. And here he says, therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And why did he start with a therefore? Why do you use a therefore? He's referring to, it's a reference to the previous verse. Since you guys are suffering, because that's what he's talking about, since you guys in Philippi are suffering, and you're living in a narcissistic world, and the church is being persecuted, don't add to it. Don't be selfish too. Don't add to that. And it's kind of still happening. We are still being persecuted. Our church is being persecuted on a whole. You know, with this COVID deal, they're trying to blame us, trying to shut us down, trying to suppress us. And then when we fight, that's why it's so weird when Christians fight, because we're just doing what they do, the world does. We shouldn't fight. But since selfishness and narcissism is all around you, Paul is saying, don't let it be among you. Don't let it be named among you. Don't be that way. And in the word where he says since, if it says if, it really means in the Greek, since it's true. Since there is encouragement, you are encouraged by the Spirit. Can you put that back up there, Alex? Is chapter, yeah. Since there's any encouragement in Christ. And that's a real neat word, encouragement. It's parakalesis, in the act of exhortation, teaching, comfort, in a sense of instruction, counsel. What we're getting tonight, what you get in your small groups, when you go to church, you get this counsel. You get your soul is fed. God is teaching us through his written word. But there's another word, parakaletos. It's really closely related to it, and it's the word for comforter. It's the picture of the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside us, and he helps us. And I had a really neat, idea of that. An Olympic runner. Olympic runner, the parakaletos is the guy, that the trainer. He's a stronger runner than you, and he runs alongside you, and he's pacing you. Kind of like Al Martinez. Al Martinez has a running team here. I see him always encouraging his people. He runs alongside them, say, hey, keep going. You're at mile 10. Our Christian life is a marathon. It's a long marathon, right? It's a long marathon. And this parakaletos comes along and says, hey, you're at mile 10. You're at mile 20. Breathe. Don't forget to breathe. Pace yourself. Above all, don't quit. Keep going. Fight that good fight. Keep running. That's the encouragement of Christ, that parakaletos. It's a real neat picture. Then it's the consolation of love. Since there's any consolation of love, since there is consolation of love, another neat picture is where God comes alongside us and he speaks to us and he whispers into our ear words of gentle cheer or tender counsel. And God has been so tender with me. I had this wooden spot, I have a wooden floor, and the spot on my floor is worn. That's where I meet God every day. And he's been I've heard things from him so good that I needed in times of trouble, in times of failure. The way he came to Elijah. What do you tell Elijah? He didn't come in the tornado. He didn't come in the fire, the great fire. He didn't come in the earthquake. What was it? A still, small voice. Real quiet. He came to him. And he was really tender with Elijah. Really loving. And what that means is we have to be quiet too. We're a noisy world. We're a noisy people, man. We have to have music playing all the time. The TV on. If you get quiet, man, God will talk to you. Because God's love is a catalyst. Any consolation, any comfort, any love comes from him. Since God loves you, since Jesus loved you, has that changed how you love people? Has it made you more loving? Has it made you more giving? The last one is the fellowship of the Spirit, the koinonia, the participation, the communion, because of a common interest. We are a spiritual family, because we are a spiritual family. You guys remember that song by Sister Sledge, We Are Family? Remember that song? We are family. I got all my brothers. I know you old people are smiling, man. I got all my brothers and sisters with me. That was a cool song. We are family. And if there's any affection, any compassion, any mercy, make my joy complete. That's what Paul was saying. Was the church of Philippi perfect? No. There was dividing factions in the church. The Judaizers were coming in. What did Paul call them? They called them evil workers, dogs. They were coming in. They were saying, hey, yeah, grace, yeah, sure. Grace is nice, but that's not enough to get saved. You got to do this and you got to do that. Have any of you guys run into somebody like that? Well, you go to Valley Bible. Well, do you do this? Do you do that? You're saved by grace and grace alone. The other stuff is a lie. It's a lie. You're saved by grace and grace alone. There were fighting members in the church. Remember the two ladies that were feuding? Yodia. I think that was Yoda's wife. Yoda from Star Wars. That was Yoda's wife. Yodia and Sintechi. And the fellowship was being hurt. And Paul was saying, we are the fellowship of the Spirit. The same Holy Spirit resides in me as it does in Denger. as in Lisa. So he says, be humble, be respectful, be noble for the sake of the church of Jesus Christ, which he has purchased with his own blood. Paul is saying, if that were to happen, man, you'd make me so joyful. But you know what Paul said already? No matter what, you can beat me with rods, you can lock me up, you can talk mess about me, you can slander me, you can say bad things about me, about my reputation, I'll still be joyful. That guy was incredible. I'll still be joyful. But if you guys were humble and esteemed one another as more important than yourselves, then that would be the jalapeno in the taco, or the queso, the cheese in the quesadilla, or the chocolate when you dip your cone in the chocolate, that chocolate. They still do that at McDonald's? Man, you guys would make my joy complete. The more you do as you please, the less pleased you are with what you do. Think about that. I mean, that's true for all of us. That's true for me, man. The more I do my own thing, take care of me, the more miserable I am. There's a benefit. People will like you more. The Lord will walk with you. You'll walk with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. People will want to be around you. People will say, that's a team player. And you'll be much more joyful. And you'll have peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need your help. We need your help to follow through, Lord. To follow through and not be selfish, not be proud, to be humble. That's not easy, Lord. It's not easy. We're living in a counter, our world is going against us, God, and our message, our lives are counter culture. And help us to love one another. Help us to be respectful. Continue to encourage us through your word. Console us in your love, God. And I pray you continue to use Valley Bible, Lord. Use Valley Bible as you always have. Continue to use our church. Let our koinonia be close with you and with one another. But Lord, we thank you for our church, God. This is the last service of the year. I pray we go out with joy, go out with peace. In Jesus' name. If you guys need prayer, we have prayer people up here. Please come up. If you do not know the Lord, we want to put a Bible in your hand. We got some good trained people up here that would love to pray with you. God bless you guys. We'll see you next year.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.